Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Wednesday, October 20th, 2021 in the Gregorian calendar, and the 14th of Cheshvan, 5782 in the Hebrew calendar. Now, let's get to the news. Yesterday, Palestinians clashed with police at Jerusalem's Damascus Gate, leading to 22 arrests and 17 injuries. The clash is one of the worst in the Old City since the violence which ignited the 11-day war with Hamas back in May. According to police, Palestinian rioters threw stones at buses, and police responded with tear gas, water cannons, and sound grenades to disperse the riots. The Palestinian Red Crescent reported that it treated 17 wounded Palestinians. 7 were treated on site, and the rest were treated in a hospital. The Damascus Gate has been a flashpoint in the last weeks, with several demonstrations leading to dozens of arrests. According to a spokesperson for the Eged bus services, rioters damaged tens of buses using stones. An excavation near the Lion's Gate, which uncovered Palestinian graves, triggered the recent clashes. We covered it last week, but here's a recap if you missed it. Construction crews unearthed human bones in a site near the Lion's Gate when construction was under the way, okay? So bones came up, and many Palestinian residents hurried to the area to protest it. They say that it was a desecration of Muslim graves at the site. However, the Nature and Parks Authority said that this territory is a national park and open public space outside of the Muslim cemetery. The Muslim Waqf, unlawfully and in violation of court orders, placed several graves there. The space under construction is set to be a public garden and promenade. So basically, the Nature and Parks Authority is working to create a new green space there. And nearby is a Muslim cemetery. Some of the graves were placed in this area that is set to be a public garden. And so when the bones were coming up during the construction of this new green space, Palestinians said that it was a desecration and they got very upset. There was a very similar situation to this in Tel Aviv as well that is being worked out in the court system. Following back up on a story about the Arab-Israeli community and the fight to stop violence within their cities and their society, the Deputy of Public Security announced just yesterday that a special task force of senior law enforcement has been established to crack down on violence. We just reported that this year alone, 100 Arabs died within Israel due to violence. Officials are calling it a state of emergency and say that the police department is years behind on this. Prime Minister Naftali Bennett also ordered 2 battalions of border police to start handling Arab crime in southern Israel. The unit usually serves the West Bank and East Jerusalem, and they deal with Palestinian violence and issues with Palestinians. Another issue that the government wants to tackle is where the money is coming from. Now, let's explain. Apparently, many issues start with under-the-table loans that are backed by criminal organizations working in the black market. Apparently, Arab Israelis face difficulty receiving traditional forms of credit from banks, from Israeli banks, and so they turn to underground routes to get cash. This, according to officials, is where the root of the violence is. So there's issues in the Arab-Israeli community with money laundering, money loans, and this often turns into violence. We've also been reporting on a lot of crime family violence. There's a lot of families that war with one another. They have disputes, they have arguments, and they end up turning to gun violence to solve it. And unfortunately, a lot of innocent people get killed in the crossfire. We're going to continue to follow up on this initiative that the Israeli government is putting forward to try to crack down on violence. Justice Minister Gideon Saar released text from a new bill that proposes an amendment to the basic laws in place that block any Knesset member indicted for a crime that results in a minimum of 3 years behind bars. So anyone who, any Knesset member who gets 3 years behind bars as a sentence would not be able to get the job of forming a new government. So the way that it works is someone gets mandated, oftentimes by the president of Israel, to form a new government. That's what happened the last time. So the president had to give the person who had the top number of seats an opportunity to go around and pull together a government with smaller parties and bring them all together. You need a majority of 61 seats in order to form a government in Israel. And oftentimes that comes by gathering and uniting different parties. And that's exactly what happened this time. Now, in all of that, there's one leader that is mandated with having this job. And the bill that Gideon Saar is putting into place would make it so that the person who gets that responsibility has to not be in a situation in which he or she could potentially be spending 3 years behind bars for a crime, okay? Essentially, this would keep former Prime Minister Netanyahu from being able to form a government in the future, should he get the opportunity to. The leader of the Arab Joint List, which is a party in the current government, says he would support the measure. So a news article is out today saying that the Arab government party is in support of this. A little foreign affairs for you. India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi invited, officially, Prime Minister Naftali Bennett for an official visit to India in person. No more phone conversations. Come on over to India. The country's foreign minister relayed the message when he met with Bennett in Jerusalem today. So the foreign minister is here in Israel. He met with Bennett and officially invited him to come on a journey to India. The two countries are warm to each other and creating some really interesting business connections. If you are getting caught up on your Israel Daily News, we would love for you to consider sending a monthly contribution to us at anchor.fm/Israel Daily News/support. The financial support that we get from subscribers helps us maintain our show, and it helps us continue to grow and try to reach new audiences. Subscribers will get a handwritten thank you note and a little poem that I come up with myself to let you know how thrilled we are to have your support. Thank you for your interest in being up to date on Israeli affairs, Israeli politics, our world politics. We have one central link in the show notes, which you can click on, and that is going to take you to the page where you can make a contribution and feel good knowing that you are supporting independent journalism. So check that out at israeldaily.news. You can also support us by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. Number two, you can share the show with a friend. And number three, you can follow us on social media at israeldaily.news as well as Shanna Fold. My name has two N's in it, and I'm very sensitive about that. I never used to drink coffee in the United States. Very rarely I drank coffee. But here in Israel, coffee is culture. And so I picked it up. I started to drink. And if you also enjoy the dark beverage, what you sweeten it with can make all the difference. That is according to a study from Ben Gurion University's Department of Environmental Biotechnology. 3 years ago, Ben Gurion University professor Ariel Kushmaro revealed 6 artificial sweeteners that are toxic to gut microbes, the bacteria that keep our digestive systems healthy. But new research carried out this year identified 3 artificial sweeteners: aspartam, sucralose, and saccharin. I'm going to spell those for you. Aspartame, sucralose, sucralose, and saccharin, saccharin. These 3 can cause severe digestive disturbances and diseases. These findings were published in the prestigious Journal of Molecular Sciences. Just exactly why are they bad? Well, according to lead researcher Karina Goldberg, Artificial sweeteners interfere with quorum sensing, the ability of different species of bacteria to communicate and therefore balance their populations in a healthy digestive system. It may surprise you to learn that the biggest consumers of artificial sweeteners are athletes who consume them in high quantities in sports drinks. Artificial sweeteners can also cause type 2 diabetes. They do this by tricking the body into thinking that they are ingesting sugar and cause the pancreas to release insulin. Since there's no sugar to be found, the body actually becomes resistant to insulin so that when real sugar is taken in, it is not digested and the result can be cancer, obesity, heart disease, and diabetes. Professor Kushmaro said that he hopes the new research will push the food industry to reevaluate the use of artificial sweeteners. Another troubling aspect of the study is that artificial sweeteners have been found in drinking water, surface water, and underground water supplies known as aquifers, the major source of Israel's water supply. So when you brew your morning coffee or enter your favorite coffee shop, use real sugar. It just may save your life. By the way, I have always used real sugar. I try to reduce the amount of sugar that I drink, but I do have real sugar, and I limit myself to just one Coca-Cola a week instead of, say, four Diet Cokes. I try to do everything in moderation, right? That's what we say in my family, everything in moderation. Now I have another great story for you, a bit of foreign affairs and science all mixed together. Israel and the United Arab Emirates are set to sign onto an agreement to collaborate on the moon. The moon! The two nations hope to get their flags there by 2024. That's according to Ynet News. According to the report, the countries are set to sign on Wednesday. The agreement is meant to cover several space projects, including a collaboration on Israel's Bereshit 2. The first mission failed when Israel tried to send a robot to the moon in 2019. That was Bereshit 1. The engine failed, and the little machine crashed onto the moon and was not able to fulfill its mission. It was Israel's first attempt at reaching the moon, by the way. The spacecraft would carry a satellite designed by students from both Israel and the UAE with the goal of determining the precise time of the new moon. Jews and Muslims alike operate in accordance to the lunar calendar, with holidays rolling out depending on the moon's cycle, and days are considered to begin at nightfall and end at the following nightfall. Israel has raised $70 million from investors so far for the mission, and they believe that they're going to need $100 million to make it happen, so they're 70% done. I can't wait for this collaboration. I think that's really awesome. And a very cool story, a very cool archaeological story to end on. A diver, Shlomo Katzin, diving in Israel's northern Carmel Beach, has discovered a 900-year-old sword, which dates back to the time of the Crusaders. Katzin also found other artifacts alongside the sword, according to the Israel Antiquities Authority. Katzin, a resident of Atlit, which is a neighborhood in the area in the north, handed over his discovery to the Antiquities Authority and was awarded a good citizenship certificate. An inspector from the Antiquity Authority's Robbery Prevention Unit says, quote, "It was found encrusted with marine organisms, but is apparently made of iron. And it is exciting to encounter such a personal object, taking you back 900 years to a different era with knights, armor, and swords." So cool. We're going to show a photo of this crusty sword on our Instagram page at israeldaily.news. Check out israeldaily.news to see that photo. It's really cool. It looks like a sword with crustaceans on it. All right, well, that is it for today's show. Today is Wednesday, October 20th, 2021. Tel Aviv has a low of 19 degrees Celsius and a high of 26 degrees. That's 66 degrees Fahrenheit for the low, going up to 79 degrees for the high. Subscribe to the Israel Daily News Podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're hearing it from. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. It's a newsletter with the top five stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week. Thank you to Alex Schloss for today's stories and updates, Dr. Steve Shallett for today's medical story. story, and Michelle Milner for her social media work. I'll send you off today with Hof Ahava by Yaara Sholian. When people ask me who is one of my favorite underground artists here in Israel, usually I tell people that each of my podcasts ends with a song from an up-and-coming Israeli artist. They say, well, who's your favorite? I very frequently say her name, Yaara Sholian. She's awesome. Enjoy this tune and have a great and productive day.
Al panim.